script of the first play called 12 Angry Men, Orange. It's called Cosmic Orange. Isn't that great? And so if you have that on the back is the notes for the message. And this has been really exciting. We've been talking ever since Sue and I got back from the Vineyard National Conference, the theme All In. And we talked about that and just what that looks like last week. And this morning, I just want to look at a couple of verses, because as believers, as followers of Jesus, we have this new identity. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I fully identify with Christ. And so what does that mean? So I'm just thinking our fresh new identity is Jesus. What does that look like? What does it look like to identify with Jesus in that kind of a way? So I want us to just take a few minutes to look at this theme here this morning. So I've written out for us out of the message, because most of us aren't carrying the copy of the message with us, Luke 4:18-19. So here in the notes are these verses, this shocking announcement that Jesus made to the synagogue at Nazareth, his hometown. He comes back, he's given the scroll when he comes into the service, and he says, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. Sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him, intent. Then he started in, you've just heard Scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. Now, from that point on, nothing in the synagogue service was the same. No script was being followed. Nobody was aware that anything even close to this had ever happened before. And Jesus starts off in his commentary on the prophecy from Isaiah. Everyone knew the prophecy. Everyone knew the book of Isaiah. Everyone would have been familiar with that. And, you know, it's just like, you know, if you have traditions at, you know, Christmas time or whatever, we read the Christmas story. Yes, we've heard it many, many times before, but it's always great to hear it again. It's nice to read over it again. And so as Jesus was reading this passage out of the prophet Isaiah, everyone was nodding and, you know, it's like, oh yeah, oh, these are such nice words. It's really great to hear this again. And then Jesus messed it all up by starting, you've just heard Scripture make history. Say what? And then he says, it came true just now in this place. So now they're all scrambling to try to think, what did he just say? You know, because those are familiar, soothing words, you know, that maybe put us to sleep, because we're so familiar. They're so lovely. And then all of a sudden, Jesus said, they just came true. And they're all like, wait a minute. So let's back up. What did he say then? What is it he's just said? What made history? And what has just become true? And so Jesus comes, and he comes in, and he breaks into the public view as an adult around 30 years old with this great identity that is so clear. His mission is very well outlined for him. In Mark chapter 1, right off, of course, Mark is the, you know, get it done fast kind of person, and he's always the one going immediately, 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 because he doesn't have time. He wants to get the whole word out there. And so Mark is doing this. But already in chapter 1, he just mentions Jesus 40 days in the wilderness. It's one verse. That's all Mark gives to the wilderness time. And he goes straight into, Jesus comes out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, and he announces, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. What is the good news that Jesus is talking about? The kingdom of God is near. Because they've been under the kingdom of Rome for so long. This is such good news. This is amazing. You're kidding. The kingdom of God is near. What does that mean? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And I was thinking, toward the end of the Second World War, after D-Day in June, as the Allied forces made their way from the beaches all the way across France, pushing the German armies back, every town, when the Allied forces arrived, what were they doing? They were rejoicing, because you know what? The kingdom of the Allied forces has arrived. What does that mean? It means the oppressing kingdom is being pushed back because these people have arrived. Everywhere they went, it was celebration in every town and village by everyone because finally our liberators have come. All of a sudden, now we are no longer under the dominion of this oppressive power. The kingdom of our allied forces that we've been waiting for, the Americans, often they were referred to only, but it was the allied forces as they moved through, so much so that some of the villages, even Mulhouse where we lived, there is the name, the street of the 18th of November, 1944. Do you know why the street name is the 18th of November, 1944? Because that's the day the allied forces arrived and set the city of Mulhouse free. And so I don't know what the name of the street was before that, but it's a fairly prominent street, le 18 novembre 1944, and it transformed the city, it transformed everyone who lived there, because all of a sudden the Germans were pushed back, and victory had come, freedom had come to the city of Mulhouse, and several other villages we noticed had dates, and so you know, and the further west you go toward the beaches, the earlier the dates are. You know, of course, you can actually see the advance of the troops because I think pretty much every village did something to recognize the fact that they've been set free. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. It's come near you. Repent and believe the good news. That's really an exciting thing. And I didn't write down how Mark records this, or how Eugene Peterson translated this this one verse, but I do want to read it because it is pretty cool too. We're used to hearing repent and believe the good news, but when Jesus comes, he says, time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. So change your life and believe the message. This is what it's all about. What you need to do is stop thinking the way you've been thinking. Oh, the Romans are in charge. Life is hard. Oh, if only the Messiah would come. Jesus said, wait a minute. God's timing is here. It's happened. It is already here. It is already here. The power is already here. So change your life and believe the message. So back in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus says, you've just heard scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. He is saying, I am the one you've been waiting for, because these verses he's just read out of the prophet Isaiah are speaking about the Messiah, the promised one. And Jesus basically has just said, I am he. And it's taking people a while to figure out. So let's look at the five things that Jesus came, the five parts of his mission that he received from the Father. He says, God's Spirit is on me and he's chosen me to, number one, preach the message of good news to the poor. Now, one thing about the kingdom, when the kingdom comes near, there are two facets. Jesus always, and I kind of look back through some of the stories, Jesus always comes with, he introduces what he wants to teach through the physical. You know, so he uses things like a grain of wheat falling into the ground. He talks about sparrows and flowers, and he talks about wineskins and harvesting and sowing, and he uses all kinds of examples, pearls, lost coins, lost sheep, I mean, all kinds of things, because he gets people's attention. They know what he's talking about, because those were all examples from from what was going on in the everyday life of the people that he was talking to. And so he starts off with that, but every time there's the physical, and then on the opposite side of that coin is the spiritual dimension. So when Jesus says, I've been anointed to preach the message of good news to the poor. Now, there were poor people all around Jesus, extremely, pitifully poor. I mean, majorly poverty stricken. And Jesus says, this good news of the arrival of the kingdom, the new kid in town, this new regime, this new governmental structure that has arrived is good news, and is good news to you, those who are poor. But the spiritual side of things are the people who are spiritually poor as well, who are greatly in need. They are not left out of the package. Jesus came with a message of good news to those who are spiritually poor, who are not aware, who need to be able to understand the presence of the kingdom, the near presence of the kingdom. And so there were the two. It's good news, the fact that God has come. It's good news for the physically poor, but it's also good news for the spiritually poor as well. Number two, I'm called to announce pardon to prisoners. Now, the brilliant example of this, of course, that is recorded for us in Scripture is Jesus on the cross. And what happens when the thief on one side of him says, "Remember me"? And Jesus says, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." That's a shocking word of forgiveness to someone who was dying because of his sin. That's just shocking. Why did Jesus do that? Everyone knew that the thieves on either side of Jesus deserved to die for what they had done. But Jesus, because this one thief speaks to him, Jesus announces pardon even to this prisoner who is on death row and already being crucified, already dying, and Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Now, obviously, that's in the physical, but the spiritual, how many people are spiritually prisoners? How can we be spiritually prisoners in the United States of America with all the freedoms that we have? You know, how about unforgiveness, anger, resentment, bitterness, lack of understanding? I mean, we imprison ourselves. Scripture says we become the prisoner of the one whom we obey. And so whatever lies we believe about ourselves and about the world, etc., if we believe those things and we walk in those things, we become prisoners of those things. Jesus says, "The near presence of the kingdom is good news to you, because I've come to turn the light on so that you will actually see this prison you've made for yourself that is of your own doing, and I've come to set you free." And so there's great pardon there. The third, announce recovery of sight to the blind. Well, there are images, there are stories of Jesus healing blind people. Obviously, multiple stories of that, different methods he used, etc. But he was coming to bring sight to the blind, but again, always with a spiritual dimension, not just physically blind. I mean, if you were physically blind and being touched so you could actually physically see, that would be amazing. And that would be, in itself, that would be plenty. But Jesus says recovery of sight to the blind in a spiritual sense as well. Who did Jesus refer to as being blind guides? The Pharisees, the religious rulers who had all of the information, had all of the scripture down, had all the rules and regulations in place, but Jesus looked at them and said, "The problem is, you have all this information, but it's made you spiritually blind and you really don't see." And so the very ones who would proclaim the need for the arrival of a Messiah are the very ones who refused Jesus and plotted to put him to death. And so Jesus says, "I've come to recover sight to the blind," those who are also spiritually blind. And then number four, set the burdened and battered free. One of Jesus' ministries, one aspect of Jesus' ministry, is to set the burdened and the battered free. That was an amazing story for those people, because there were a lot of burdened and battered people. We've talked about women, for example, who, if they didn't have children and their husband died, they were on their own. They were left to figure it out for themselves. There are other societies where that is still true today. But the people who are battered and burdened, how important is that for us today, to have a word that would set free the burdened and the battered? In our society, in every society in the world, we have people in that condition where they are so beaten down that if like one more thing comes my way, I think I'm just going to lay down and die because I can't deal with this. So Jesus' message, a part of this message he had, was to set the burden and the battered free. Now, I did chicken out. You know, I told you before that I'm more European in some of my ideas and whatever. And so when the newest thing comes down the pike, I'm always a little skeptical. And it's like, well, we'll see. That's what the French always do, too. They never jump on the newest thing. But because, you know, it's the 25th anniversary, actually, of the introduction of the PowerPoint production, I decided I would try to do a PowerPoint for this morning. And I did. But I left the stick up in my office because I kind of chickened out and thought it would be kind of bad. But anyway, on this number five, you know, I'm sorry. I just couldn't quite bring myself to do it. But this one I really liked because number five, when I made the slide about he was also called to announce, this is God's year to act. The slide comes up and there's applause. And I thought, oh, this is so great. And I said, oh, no, that's too cheesy. You better not do that. So, but anyway, I think it was really great. This is God's year to act. This is what one of the things that Jesus, one day I'll get brave enough to do this, but anyway, not today. And so one of the things that Jesus was called to do is to announce this is God's year to act. Now, if any oppressed people ever wanted God to act, it was the people in Israel in Jesus' day who were sick to death. For centuries they had waited without news from God. 4 centuries, 400 years since the end of the book of Malachi till the beginning of the New Testament, these years where they were just groaning and moaning and waiting for God to show up, waiting for God to do something. And Jesus is right here in this little town of Nazareth, in this little synagogue in the center of this little town of Nazareth, and he's announcing to his kinfolk, his homeboys, guess what? God's doing it today. This is it. This is God's time to act, and I'm here. So we're going to get this together, and we're going to do it. Only they weren't quite that excited, because when they finally realized that Jesus was announcing himself as the Messiah, you can read the story, they tried to throw him off a cliff. So Jesus came with these 5 things. Preaching the message of good news to the poor, announcing pardon to prisoners, announcing recovery of sight to the blind, set the burdened and battered free, announce this is God's year to act. But look at John 14:12, as I've written it here. Jesus says to his astonished disciples, the person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. And I'm sure the disciples were every bit as much as like the people in the synagogue in Nazareth. Say what? You, what? Who's going to do what? Greater things than you've done. Now, these disciples have been watching Jesus teach, do miracles, calm storms on the sea, cause miraculous catches of fish. I mean, over and over and over again, they're just like, really? And we're going to do greater things than you've done? And they're all looking at each other wondering, who's going to go first? Like, how's this going to work? So I think the really exciting thing is, here's the ministry of Jesus. Jesus says, this ministry, I was only come to introduce it, to bring the kingdom near, and then from this point on, guess what? It's your job. And then so Jesus leaves, sends the Holy Spirit, which is no small thing either, with the power that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he says, now it's your job. And then I have, on my very last slide, I had this wonderful bell ringing, which was really wonderful, because this is our job now. So if we look at these 5 points, our job is preaching the message of good news to the poor, announcing pardon to prisoners, announcing recovery of sight to the blind, setting the burdened and battered free, and announcing this is God's year to act. How many of us want to be part of something where we do these things and we get to say, this is God's year to act? How many of us are ready for God to do something instead of just feeling sorry for ourselves that we're all by ourselves and nothing really is happening? But I'm getting excited by this thing because I'm thinking, okay, I think it's time to act. I think it's time for God to show up. Only God's been saying, I've just been waiting for you guys to say, get it on. I mean, let's do it. I've been waiting for 2,000 years for you people to understand that here's my message. This is what I came to do. I gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the disciples. The disciples pass it on to us, and nothing's ever changed. God's not going to say anything new because he's already done it all. So as we close up this morning, and too bad for the time, we said we're going to stop, but what I want us to do this morning, with our shortened service, we want to take some time to pray together and to really believe that God is going to break in with kingdom power as we believe he wants to. I think we hold him up sometimes because we're too busy believing other things. So let's do some worship and let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. And as we look at this ministry that we've been given, that God is waiting on us for, that God is saying, I've given you this. this is within your hand. You know, we looked several years ago at what's in your hand. Well, one of the things I believe is this whole ministry that Jesus has been given, and then he's passed it on to us. And so I think this is really an exciting thing for us to do. So really want to give us some time to wait on the Lord and see God work this kingdom thing that is active in our midst. And when Jesus says, this is it, this is the time, God wants it to happen now. And I think he would even use the likes of us to get the job done. And he used the likes of his disciples, so we can't be too much less qualified than they were. So let's believe as we worship here this morning, and let's invite the Holy Spirit to come. So Holy Spirit, would you do this work? Would you convict our hearts that this message, this ministry is ours as well, and we participate with you in it. This was yours. You've given it to us, and we want to be faithful in doing that thing. So make us bold, Father, as we reach out and take hold of what you've given to us.